Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Just wanted to take a minute to remind you that you can download the new Civic Media app. There's a new version of the app for you to download and enjoy. You can sign up for news updates in your local community. You can select your favorite shows like the Maggie Dawn Show to listen to live, to listen to podcasts, all sorts of great things with the new Civic Media app. So be sure to download that one. If you are just joining us, once again, I'm your guest host this afternoon. Maggie Dawn will be back on Monday of next week in the usual time slot. I'm guest hosting today. There will be a couple other guest hosts for the rest of the week here. So be sure to tune in for all of the great coverage that we have across the show, across the Civic Media Network. For our next segment here, we are joined by John D. Marquette University. John has done a whole lot of work analyzing, breaking down data and so forth from the election results. And I asked him to join this week because he just wrote a piece a couple days ago called "Donald Trump Won 50 Wisconsin Assembly Seats, So Did Tammy Baldwin." John, first, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And so this piece, you know, really takes a look at what happened in the election and how it mapped onto the Wisconsin State Assembly in the 99 districts in the Wisconsin State Assembly. So this first election since the previous maps were struck down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We, of course, had this kind of fraught, crazy process to find new maps. They were eventually the ones that were proposed by Governor Tony Evers, passed in the Wisconsin State Legislature, and then signed into law by the governor in February, setting up this kind of unique election where we now saw the results, where we have an 18-15 Republican majority in the state Senate and a 54-45 Republican majority in the state assembly. But as you charted here, you know, it was a pretty even split if you look at what happened at the top of the ticket. What were some of your key takeaways here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, truly a very even split in the state assembly. It's just that Republican state assembly candidates are more popular than top of the ticket Republicans are. Donald Trump won the state by about a point, won 50 seats in the assembly. That's a one seat majority. Tammy Baldwin also won the state by about a point and also won 50 states. So, you know, those of you who can do math will notice that that means there's at least one district that wins both ways. And that is the 85th, the Wausau seat, voted for Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump. And of course, the Republican in the state assembly, the Republican candidate, won that seat as well and won it by more than Donald Trump did. In fact, there's only one Republican candidate who got less of the two-party vote than Donald Trump. Only one winning Republican assembly candidate who did that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, incumbency is always a really big factor in these down ballot elections. I think you've kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've put a numerical quality to this as well. Is it like a 4-point advantage that you know, incumbents tend to have in these types of down ballot races in the legislature?
You can kind of decompose incumbency advantage into two parts. One part is name recognition, and the other part is being better at running campaigns because you have more practice and more money. Mm-hmm. And whenever we have redistricting, we get this fun opportunity to actually measure those two pieces separately, because when the districts are redrawn, incumbents run in the new district where some of the voters are their old voters with whom they should enjoy name recognition, and some of the voters are new voters. They won't really have name recognition with those voters, but they will still have the benefit of running a stronger campaign. And so when I looked at this in 2022, we found that in those wards that were also part of the candidate's previous district, incumbency advantage was worth 4 points. So in a seat that was toss-up otherwise, you would expect the incumbent to get 52% to 48% for the challenger. And then the advantage was about half that size in the wards which were new to the district. So you would expect them to get like 51% of the vote in those districts. And the size of the incumbency advantage was the same for Democrats and Republicans in 2022. It's just that there were more Republican incumbents, so the aggregate effect benefited that party. We see the same thing this year. And when the final data gets released, I'll go ahead and replicate that analysis to see what incumbency advantage was worth this year. Clearly, it was worth something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that at the top of the ticket in Wisconsin, too. You know, the midterm elections 2 years ago, where Tony Evers was reelected and Ron Johnson was reelected. You know, incumbency can really matter here quite a bit. And of the there were, as you noted in your piece here, there were five Republican assembly candidates that won districts that Trump lost. Most of them were incumbents. Bob Donovan in the southwestern Milwaukee suburbs. He ran a little bit ahead of Trump in his district. Todd Novak in the Dodgeville area in southwestern Wisconsin. He also ran a few points ahead of Trump. And then also Jesse Rodriguez, another seat in the Milwaukee County suburbs. She ran a few points ahead of Trump as well. So we see how, you know, it's going to, even though we have new maps and we have this new opportunity for that Democrats could have, you know, competed for the majority in a way they really didn't have the opportunity to for more than a decade. It's still going to take some time for Democrats to kind of build that level of support in some of these key races that will be, you know, in like when we broke this down at Civic Media and at the Recombobulation area, you know, many of these toss-up races maybe had the math slightly favoring Democrats, but because you had incumbents on the ballot, you had, you know, and also, you know, in some other districts, some stronger candidates that Republicans were running, people who had, you know, a record of kind of bipartisan type of activity in the past, you know, it's going to take some time for Democrats to build up that level of support. But now that they will have, you know, a greater number of representatives, you know, in 2026, it gives them a little bit of a, you know, greater advantage going into that. But by instead of trying to flip some districts, you know, it's a little bit easier to try to protect those districts going forward.
Yeah, I'd add two things to that. On the one hand, we hear so much about this being a bad era for incumbent parties just around the world, from, you know, India to France to the UK. We've seen incumbents struggle. And that's true. And I think it has some explanatory power for how we think about how the presidential race worked. But when you get down to these local races, it's still good to be an incumbent. It's pretty clear. I also want to say that all these seats, the ones you just named, they were really close still. This was a good year for Republicans on election night. Most of the state shifted a little bit towards the Republicans from 2020 to 2024. But you can imagine in a year where the wind is going in the other direction politically, most of these seats would probably fall the other way. They were that close.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're joined by John D. Johnson of Marquette University. He's been breaking down some of the data for the Wisconsin State Legislature, which you can really see in this piece that you wrote, the impact of new maps, because you compared what these election results would look like under the maps that were signed into law for this election, and how they might have looked in previous maps, including the maps in 2022, and some of the other ones that were proposed as part of the process for Wisconsin adopting some of the new maps. What really stood out to you there?
It's wild how much of a difference the maps you have makes. So, as we said, Trump won the majority of the vote in 50 of the current seats. If we had run this election under the maps we used in 2022, Trump would have won a majority in 64 of those districts. Same votes cast in the same places, but a 14 seat difference. Truly wild. There was one plan put forward, the one by the progressive law firm Law Forward. I think they're based in Madison. And that one, actually, Trump would have only won 48 seats despite winning the state by a point. So you can see how the Evers map, the one we have now, at least in the assembly, didn't push the dial quite as far as Democrats maybe could have. It's actually a little bit of a different story in the state Senate. But another remarkable thing is, you may recall the People's Map Commission that Evers put together way back in round one of the 2020 redistricting cycle. And
I sure do. That was, it was, who can forget the People's Maps Commission? I guess nerds like myself who were looking at redistricting and following that process very closely. But just to refresh our listeners, this was a kind of ostensibly nonpartisan commission that the governor had put together to try and find new maps in the normal cycle, kind of following the census after 2020.
Yeah, and so Evers put forward this like list of criteria that this commission would use, and they were all sort of rigorous, nonpartisan, good government ideas about keeping communities together, being compact, that kind of thing. And Republicans really saw this as a Democratic ploy to get something sort of past them. But actually, when you look at how this election would have gone down under those maps that the People's Map Commission proposed, like we said, Trump won 50 seats under the current maps, 64 under the old maps we used in 2022. If we'd used those People Map Commission maps, he would have won 55 in the assembly. So 5 seats better for Republicans than what they ended up with, which speaks to the level of sort of baked in Republican advantage that exists in Wisconsin's current political geography, worth about 5 seats probably. Which is a lot less than the old Republican gerrymander did, but also more than what Democrats ended up getting out of this map that Evers drew.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that point that you're making there. So, and I would encourage our listeners to go find John's piece on this at bluebookmke.substack.com. And it's crazy to think that the same votes from the same people in the same election cycle, just based on how the maps are drawn, on one map would produce 64 Republican state representatives, and the other map produce 50 Republican state representatives. That's how much of a difference you can really see from that how much gerrymandering factors into this, how much redistricting matters. And I think that's why, so many people who are, really following this stuff at a granular level focused so much on what was happening with redistricting, because it just is such a major factor on the makeup of the Wisconsin state legislature. And that is the decisions that are made in the Wisconsin state legislature can often have a much more direct impact on your day-to-day life as a Wisconsinite. And because, and your ability to impact change, on the local level, on the state level, that so much of those decisions go back to what's happening in the Wisconsin state legislature. So I think, as we kind of look ahead to some of the political battles that are ahead for this new narrower Republican majority, it's going to be really interesting to see how those tighter maps factor into, the actual process of legislating as well. And how, people might respond to the greater accountability that voters can deliver by having more competitive seats, by having more toss-up districts. And, it'll be interesting to see as we get into next year, if there's going to be a situation in, like in the state Senate, where, you might have some Republican senators, let's say in districts won by Kamala Harris, having to moderate some of their positions and not adopt always the further right types of positions. We're joined here by John D. Johnson of Marquette University, who's been breaking down some of the data with the results of the Wisconsin State Legislature. John's going to stick with us for one more segment here on The Maggie Don Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon, Dan Schaefer, and we'll be right back.